Good evening, church. Wonderful to see everyone out this evening. And I'm so glad that you've set aside some time on a Friday night to invest in spiritual things. I commend you for it. I believe you've chosen the better part. Brother Russ spoke the truth. This is my first trip to Texas. First time to be here. Now, I've heard about Texas and I met some people from Texas. But I finally got to come and see it for myself. And it is such a joy to meet new brethren, those of like precious faith, and also find those so eager to be ambassadors of Texas and say, if this is your first time in Texas, you're never going to forget Texas. And I love that. And I'm meeting some fine brethren here already. I'm excited about today, tomorrow, Sunday, this weekend, that we're going to be opening up the scriptures and looking at the Word of God. And particularly looking at things that's going to encourage faith and strengthen faith, I believe, for all of us at any stage in our lives. And I hope that you brought a Bible tonight and invite you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes and the 11th chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I want to thank Brother Andrew for helping me get the interactive outlines out to everyone, the lesson sheets. There'll be one of those that goes along with every lesson. I'll tell you why I do that. If you're like me, you'll be listening to a lesson and say, well, that was a good point that fellow made. Or I want to ask him a question about that. Not sure about that one. Wish I had a piece of paper to write that down, because by the time the service is over, that's gone out of my mind. Well, there's your piece of paper. So we can go through the scriptures and we can fill in the blanks. I'm not going to run off after services, because I love to meet new friends and talk about spiritual things. So if you'd like to ask me about it or talk about anything that we teach or say here, please do that. And there's a piece of paper that goes right along with what we're studying and looking at together. Good to sing to God. Brother Josh led us so well. Good to sing to God. And now to have this time to look at His Word. Tonight I want to speak to you about big faith in every chapter of life. Big faith in every chapter of life. I really do enjoy this time of year, the new school year, because it's new beginnings. It's a new chapter. You know, however the last school year ended, you know, at the beginning of summer, that's done now. And depending on your situation, maybe you get to go to another grade. Maybe you get to go to a whole new school. Maybe you're going off to school. That's exciting. What's done is done. You know, the past is over. And this is a new beginning. That's great. It's a new chapter. And church, certainly, besides school, we mark off new chapters in our lives. I preach the gospel because when people are baptized and become a Christian, that's a new beginning. That's a new chapter. In truth, that's a whole new book that you get, that the Lord gives you to write in. But it's a new beginning, a new chapter. And you mark off chapters. You finish school. Go get a job. And that's a new chapter. When you get married and you start a family, boy, those are new chapters, aren't they? Maybe you make a move to another house in the same town, or maybe you move to a whole other town, or maybe you move to a whole other state, and that's a new chapter. Maybe you mark off a new chapter because you're starting a new business or making a job transition, new chapters. You go along and what do you know? Next thing, you're graduating your kids out of school. That's a new chapter. In fact, you're graduating your kids and they're getting married and you become a grandparent. That's a new chapter. There comes a time when you retire from your work, a time when you're caring for your aged parents. There can come a time where you bury a few of your friends. Those are new chapters. And one day, your kids are coming, now they're checking in on you. How are you doing, Mom and Dad? And that is a whole new chapter. And I'm going to tell you that through it all, in every stage, in every chapter of life, faith is the way to make it the best that it can be. I believe that any chapter with God will be better than a chapter without Him. Absolutely I do. Bible faith. It's not easy believism. It's not Sunday only faith. It's not mental assent. It's not some name it and claim it mantra. But Bible faith is knowing God, trusting God, and obeying God, regardless of the circumstances. Knowing God, trusting God, and obeying Him, regardless of the circumstances. And I believe this about you, my brother, my sister in Christ, that all Christians are working, we are desiring, we are trying to grow in our faith, to be built up in our faith. And as we're built up in our faith gets big. It should. At least it should be bigger than it is now. And the more we know God, the more we trust God, the more we obey Him, the bigger faith gets. I want my faith to be bigger and stronger this time next year than it is today. Don't you? Bigger faith. Stronger faith. Big faith. And that's not going to happen accidentally. I'm talking about big faith. So that even if tonight you say, I'm at a moment, I'm in a circumstance, I'm in a chapter of life where I can't quite see the outcome, I'm not exactly sure how this is going to end, how it's going to work out, you will choose to honor God and you will choose to obey God before anything else. That you'll have the strength and the confidence in God to take that step. Big faith. Like an Abraham. All right? Like an Abraham who went out not knowing where he was going. That's big faith. Or like a Moses. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. That's big faith. Like a Mary, like a Virgin Mary, who doesn't understand how it could be she is with child. But what does she say to the angel Gabriel? Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. That's big faith. Can you fathom that kind of faith? Big faith. And I'm looking at Ecclesiastes 11 with you tonight. Our text here is all about big faith in every chapter of life. Now you might look at that for a second and say, well, Andrew, you know, I've been reading some Ecclesiastes, and I actually haven't read the word faith in the book of Ecclesiastes. And you're right. And I hadn't read the word believe in the book of Ecclesiastes. And you are not wrong. But I'm going to tell you that there are three things that we are taught in Ecclesiastes, particularly in the 12th chapter, that are faith. That are a definition of faith and big faith, if I've ever read one. Because in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, we are taught to remember God. It means faith. It means big faith to remember God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, we are taught to fear God. That is to revere Him, to respect Him. In chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. And keep His commandments. Keep God's commandments. Remember God. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Remember God. Revere Him. Obey Him. Folks, if that's not faith, I'm not sure I know what is. He's teaching us about faith. That's a definition of big faith. Remember God. Respect Him. Obey Him. And Solomon shows us in this context of life, in the story of a life, big faith in every chapter of life. So let's go to the notes, and I'm going to start in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 7. First point I want to make with you tonight is this: big faith in the sunny chapters and the dark chapters of life. Big faith in the sunny chapters and the dark chapters of life. I trust you found Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. I'm reading from the New King James. Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives in many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. If I could sum up these two verses this way, in your life, you will have some sunny times and you will have some dark times. But all of the times are transitory. That is, in the grand scheme, none of those times are going to last for very long. I think a lot of us would understand, okay, the Bible teaches us the brevity of life. We say, that's right, that's James 4, life is as a vapor, and it goes by quickly. So we're pretty sold on the idea of the brevity of life. Sometimes, maybe it depends on our circumstances. I heard a comedian say one time, people say life is short. No, it's not. Life is long, especially when you make bad choices. And I think some of us might feel the truth of that. But the reality is, whether you're making some good choices or some bad choices, it is going to pass by quickly. We all get 24 hours in a day. We all get the same amount of time. Now, it either feels like it's passing slowly or passing quickly, depending on our circumstance and our attitude about our circumstance and our faith. But what Solomon shows us is that whether his life is feeling painful for you right now or very pleasant, it's going to be gone quickly all the same. It's transitory. It's transitory. And so how should we see? We should see that each day is a gift and a blessing from God. He starts out by telling us that the light is sweet. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 7, truly the light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. You know what a sunrise means? It means that God has given you something great. When your eyes behold the rising sun, a new morning, remember God. Thank Him for this gift. He has already given you something today. Solomon says it's sweet. Solomon says it is pleasant. And I want to drive that home because he's going to use this word vanity quite a bit in just a moment. And that word is all over the book of Ecclesiastes. And whenever we read vanity, we may be tempted to get really down and really depressed and think, well, there's no good things. But he's saying this is a good thing. In fact, he says, truly, verse 7, I'm telling you the truth. This is a good thing. A day of life is good. And every good and perfect gift comes from God. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Now, I want to go on to verse 8, where after he teaches us a day is a gift, whether good or bad, it's passing quickly. In verse 8, we see that even a good long life has some dark days. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 8. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Who doesn't want a good, long life? Who doesn't want to see things and do things and be full of days when life is over? And yet even people who are people of big faith in the Bible, they had some dark days. You think about it. You think about a Joseph who went to prison for doing the right thing and resisting temptation and fleeing away from Potiphar's wife. He acted right. He acted godly. He got some dark days for his faith, didn't he? Or what about a Moses? Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land, not allowed to go into Canaan land because he acted in pride and he struck a rock with his staff to produce a miracle of water. He had only been told by God to speak to the rock to produce the water. Well, there were some dark days for him because of his sin. Difficult consequences for that sin. That life goal of leading the people into the promised land, that wasn't realized for him because of a lack of faith in a chapter of life. What about Job? Think about Job. Here's a righteous man who had some dark days. We're not sure. I mean, in the book of Job, he's never even told why all these things were happening. We get to read Job and we see how the devil is preparing him for a temptation to curse God and die. But it's never made quite that clear to Job. He's a righteous man and yet faces these dark days. And then when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, like in chapter 9, verse number 11, he saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Sometimes, whether we've been doing right or doing wrong, things happen and there can be some dark days. But I want to talk to you about this for a moment. 2 years ago, about this time, my family and I had to make an unexpected trip back to Indiana, where my wife's grandmother passed away, and I had the privilege of being invited to go and to conduct her funeral. A lovely lady named Gladys, and she was 104 years old. 104. And in that life, she had influenced a great many people in her community. She was a career mathematics teacher. We knew the family would be there, but all of these students from the years came to the funeral. And some of them done very well. There was even a state senator that showed up too. And it was like, wow, Grandma Gladys, who all did you know? But in that time of recollection and talking about the funeral and going through the process, invariably people would come and say to me, "Well, I'm sorry about your loss. How old was she?" "Well, she was 104. That's a good long life. If I heard that once, I heard that 50 times. Now that is a good long life. And as I begin to reflect upon that, 104 years, no one would deny that that was a long life. But it doesn't necessarily follow that it's a good life. You have to choose to make it a good life. So begin to learn about Grandma Glass. She grew up in the depths of the Great Depression. Grew up on a farm in Illinois, a very rural area. She was even a preacher's kid, and they moved around an awful lot. After that, she marries late, at least for her generation, well into her 30s. She couldn't seem to quite find the right one. And after they got married, her husband tragically died after 15 years of marriage. There was an accident. And here she was, left to raise two girls. One was 13 and one was 11. By herself. Well, she could be a math teacher. Hardships. When I was talking to her about what were some of the greatest, at her 100th birthday, what were some of the greatest inventions she had seen in her lifetime, you know what the two things she talked about the most were that made the biggest difference in her life? Indoor plumbing and air conditioning. Amen. That got the amen. Big differences, right? Big differences. After her daughters were raised, she met another man. She married again. He was a good man, but he got cancer and died. They were only married about 5 years. I mean, she had a good long life. She had a lot of hardship and difficulty throughout her life. And there are some people that would look at Gladys' life and say, "You see that right there? You see all of this heartbreak? You see all this hardship? You see all this tragedy? That's why I don't believe there's a God. Because bad things like that happen to people. That's why I reject it all." And yet when Gladys came to the end of her life, she wasn't broken or soured by any of those things. It was about her choice, about her attitude. It's about faith. Big faith sees us through the dark times to other sunny chapters. Big faith helps us understand the dark times to keep our hearts for God. You know, as the Bible uses the word heart, it's not about sentimentality. Rather, the Bible uses the word heart to communicate the mind, the seat of the will. And so the wise man Solomon wrote, Proverbs 4 verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." It is the understanding that your life is not everything that is happening to you. Rather, your life is what is flowing from you, from your heart. Even a good long life, it's going to have some dark days. We go back to Ecclesiastes 11 verse 8 and understand that every day then, he says, is vanity. And all that is coming is vanity. What does that mean? Quickly passing away. Time and life is not what you hold on to. God is what you hold on to. God is eternal, and that's big faith. When we remember, when we respect, when we obey God today. And faith in God carries us through to another sunrise where we can be thankful for the gift of today. Rejoice in it, Solomon said. Steward this time, this season, this chapter of our life for God's glory because it is temporary. And it's all the more precious because it's temporary. I had the opportunity to go to Alaska and do some preaching. Saldatna, Alaska, to do a gospel meeting. And the brethren in Alaska were very eager to be ambassadors of Alaska to a stranger in their land and tell me about Alaska. And one of the things they talked to me about was, I want to say this correctly, I wrote it down, the World Ice Art Championship that is held every year in Fairbanks, Alaska. This is an international event where ice sculptors come from around the globe to Alaska. They start with blocks of ice and they make incredible creatures and buildings. And all of it is juried art. Now imagine that. Artists traveling from around the world to work in the medium of ice. you craft something magnificent out of ice. And what's going to happen to your art? You're right. It's going to melt. They work in something beautiful. And it's going to melt. And it's going to go away. Does that mean that it's not good to sculpt in ice? No. No, that's what makes it all the more precious. Because it melts away. You see, big faith fashions our life into joy and fruitfulness in the brevity of each passing day. It's beautiful because it passes away. And as we move through Ecclesiastes 11 and into chapter 12, this gets explored in two phases of life. So let's talk about the first phase of life. Let's talk about big faith in the early chapters of life. Number two in your notes, big faith in the early chapters of life. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse number 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Big faith in the early chapters of life. If you see yourself as young or younger in the room, how's your faith? How's it going in these early chapters of your life? If you see yourself as older or more seasoned in your life, how did it go? How did you spend your youth? How was your faith and your relationship with God? Here's what God advises. Number one, enjoy youth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Now look, we live in a culture that probably, to its detriment, tends to idolize youth. Youth is not to be idolized. Youth is not to be coveted. But it is to be enjoyed. That's what Solomon said. You live once. You're young once. That's the way God made it. Enjoy it. And let me just encourage you young people. That you, sometimes you're at kind of this earlier stage in life, this earlier chapter. And you get frustrated. You get to this time of year, we're going back to school, and you're looking in the mirror, and you say to yourself, I don't like what I see in the mirror. I'm gangly. None of my clothes fit right. This group of people, I don't think they like me. That group of people, they're not very nice in their social media. I don't have the money for the coolest trends in clothes. I don't have the best technology. I don't have the best smartphone. You know, just everything just eats at you. And I'm not happy and I don't belong and I fit in. And I just feel like some kind of a monster. Let me encourage you. And you may not believe me tonight. But there will be a day that comes when you will be going through a box of stuff because you're moving and you get out a yearbook from school. And just for kicks, you open up the yearbook and you start to flip through the pages and you look at yourself. And you say, wow, I was so young. Wow, I was so thin. Wow, I had so much hair. Wow, what was I worried about? And I didn't have the coolest clothes, and now all the clothes in here look so ridiculous. What was I so worried about? I just want to encourage you to enjoy it. Don't beat yourself up right now. I'm going to tell you, these are very good days for you. Choose to make them very good days. God says enjoy it. The second thing the Lord counsels us to is explore in this season of life. In Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9, it says, walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes. These early chapters, you get to do some things and you have some opportunities, and you should. You should try a new activity. Try a sport. Try a club. You should. You should go for some education. It opens some other doors for you. You should, if you can, travel a little bit. Those experiences, they broaden your perspective of this world that God made. Meet people. Be open to making a new friend. I know that when you go off to school, you know, you go to maybe another school, another high school, you go off to college, there's this whole other social world to explore. And here's the deal. Because of Facebook and because of Instagram and those sorts of things, some people say, I'm always in touch with my friends. I never lose track of my friends. That can be okay. But don't cut yourself off from meeting new people and making new friends, because you're all caught up with the people on the phone that are, you know, maybe in another state. We got to keep meeting new people and making new friends. And I tell you, it's just incredible and amazing how meeting certain people will produce pivotal relationships and moments in your life. I was having supper with some folks tonight, and they were asking me about my family. And I'll tell you how I met my wife. I was in high school, and there was a drama club, and we were going to do a musical, and I decided to go. And I decided to go audition for this musical. And she came and auditioned for this musical, this extracurricular event. And we hadn't ever met before or talked before. But I'm so glad I went that day and tried something like that, because I met this wonderful lady who a few years later became a New Testament Christian. And a couple years after that, we were married. And we've been together now for 18 years. And God's blessed me so much. But I go back to, I was willing to go someplace and try something new. And I met her. I met her. One of my very dear friends in the world, a fellow by the name of Edwin Crozier. And he preaches in Tennessee, in Florida where I do. But I met him in Tennessee. And the way I met him in Tennessee was I had heard that there was this guy who had just moved two towns north into the area to preach the gospel. And I thought, he probably doesn't know anybody. He probably would like to make a friend. I'd like to make a friend. And I just called him. I just cold called this guy. Would you like to have coffee? And we became very, very good friends. And now I work with the guy. You know, it's just incredible how some of these relationships, pivotal relationships, develop because we're willing to go somewhere new, try something new, meet someone new. Enjoy your youth. Explore this life. But always remember God. Always remember God. Verse 9. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. What's he saying? He's saying live in light of God, not despite God. You know, remember him. That doesn't mean tie a string around your finger. What am I supposed to remember today? Oh yeah, I'm supposed to remember there's a God today. That's not really what that means. It means know him, trust him, obey him. That's how you remember God. I want to show you this. Remember how that God will judge. And there will be no secrets from him. We're taught in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Right? No secrets from God. And that's a warning. Don't think life is all about you, and don't think that you're the judge of it. Life is very short. God is eternal. God's the judge. As a youth, spend time in the Word, learning morality, learning ethics. These things are revealed from God. They are true. As a youth, spend time in the Word, learning genuine wisdom and how this world works. Because God designed it. He made it. It's revealed from God. And please don't ever kid yourself or think that you've got things so figured out. Or perhaps your friends have things so figured out. Or maybe there's a teacher or a professor at a school that have things so well figured out that now you know, there's no God. Faith is a silly thing. That's foolishness. Remember there's a God. A God who is a judge. Remember there's a God. A God who will provide for you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 10, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. You can trust him and take sorrow from your heart. That's the way you remove vexation, worry, anxiety, to know a God who loves you and provides. Everything else in life, it changes. It changes quickly. But if you're God's child, if you have God, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And I'll just have to tell you that the more chapters you write in your life, the more true this becomes. Because you get to look back over your life. And you begin to realize how God really was with you. And yes, some doors were closed, but some others were opened. And He was blessing you. He used you to bless others. What is the blessing of God, my friends? It's not riches. It's not health. What is the blessing of God? To be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He was shaping you through this life. And when you're faithful to God, He is using you in this life. Remember God. Remember how God dictates good and evil. He says so. And so choose good. He says put away evil from your flesh. Choose good. Life is so full of choices. And God bestows upon us a dignity of respecting our choices. And so Solomon says put evil far from you. The barb of temptation, the barb of sin, is that everyone thinks they can get away with it. It's not going to burn me. I mean, no one ever thinks that they're the one who's going to take the bad dose of meth or the bad dose of heroin that kills them. That's somebody else. That's not me. No one ever thinks that they're the ones that's too drunk to drive. I mean, I'm buzzing a little bit, but I would never go over the median. Maybe somebody else would go over the median. I would never go over the median. No one ever thinks that they're the ones that's going to get a disease or get pregnant out of wedlock. No one ever thinks they're the ones that some angry ex will put pictures or videos of them in various situations of embarrassment or sin out on the internet. So with these smartphones, there's cameras on them. And I know personally, some young ladies, one young lady in particular, who just knew she had a very special boyfriend. And they chose to take, she chose to take pictures of herself in various states of immodesty and wrongdoing and send them to the boyfriend. You think the boyfriend kept those to himself? He did not. He did not. And there was a terrible episode at a school when these pictures were now around the student body. Very heartbreaking, very embarrassing. And the family even chose to take her to another school. Thought things were all done. Until 2 years later, those pictures were back again. And now not just at the new school, but among some of the kids in the Bible class at church. We had to address all kinds of wrong and sin in that situation. But I want to get back to, in a tenderness of youth, there can be a naivete and a trusting and just not even understanding that, man, if I take this picture with this phone, it never goes away. Don't do that. Don't do that. God is dictating what is good and what is evil. God dictates a purity for you that will bless you all your days. Big faith. Yeah, there are earthly consequences to forgetting God and choosing to do evil things. And there's spiritual consequences to doing it, obviously. But what the Bible tells us is to remember God. Big faith remembers God. And a faith that understands, you know what? Even when you do make mistakes, even when I do sin, God has the answer for that too. God has an answer for that in repentance and forgiveness in Christ. God has an answer for that in the gospel to bring us a fresh start. And big faith comes to understand that there is a group of people here tonight in this room, a church family, a church of Christ, which embodies the love of Christ. And we can work through our troubles together. We can by God's grace. Big faith understands this, to help one another put away evil. We're taught to put away evil. Now, can we see how the early chapters of life require some big faith? In so many words, he tells us to remember God, to fear God, to obey God. And start as young as you can building big faith. Start in exercising big faith. Start tonight. Now, notice what he says. The early chapters of life are transitory. And you go to verse 10, chapter 11, verse 10. For childhood and youth are vanity. Our youth, the prime of our life. These are wonderful chapters, but we are told that they are written and they are done quickly. And so today, this day under the sun, this day it really counts. Because life moves swiftly and you don't get a day back. And that brings us then to Ecclesiastes 12. When we talk about number 3 in our notes, big faith in the later chapters of life. Big faith in the later chapters of life. Notice with me verses 1 through 5, where we are given by the Holy Spirit through Solomon a poetic picture of advanced age. Poetic imagery of advanced age. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I used to like getting up. Now I have no pleasure in them. Verse 2. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. I think he's talking about here a little bit how people's eyesight tends to dim on them. They don't see things quite as clearly as they used to. And the idea of clouds do not return after the rain. You know, a cloud needs to come and it needs to rain and then it needs to go. But what about when things are just hanging over you? They don't go away. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down. This is the idea of legs getting a little bit weaker. Maybe your back bows down a little bit. When the grinders cease because they are few. That's talking about your teeth are starting to go bad and go away from you. And the loaves that look through the window grow dim. Again, I'm not seeing things like I used to. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, doors shut. I'm sort of locked out. The grinding is low. I think this is all talking about hearing going away. And I used to be able to hear everything and now I don't hear much. And it's a very frustrating thing. Then notice this. When one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. Can't sleep at night. Can't enjoy things the way I used to. Any little thing will wake me up. I'm up all hours. I'm up early. Verse 5. Also they are afraid of height and terrors in the way. I'm afraid of falling down. How am I going to get back up? When the almond tree blossoms, that's about your hair getting beautiful shades of silver and white colors. The grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. Impulses you had as younger people, those impulses, they tend to relax and go away. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about in the streets. That's talking about death. Well, when does all that begin? Moses said that we could expect a life to be 70 or 80 years, according to Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10. And hey, even if you live 80 years, those days are going to have a lot of hardships in them. And I always chuckle a little bit when I read that in the psalm because I think, yeah, sure, says the guy who when he was 80 years old led the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. He lives to be 120 years old and his strength never left him, you know. But hey, 70 years, 80 years, that's probably a pretty good span. That's what the Bible says. Myron Thomas was a brother I knew in Columbia, Tennessee. He was an elder for a number of years, and by the time I started preaching there, he stepped down from that office. His health was really troubling him, and he even got to be shut in. But I would love to go, particularly in my early years, and go sit with Myron and just learn so much from him. And we were sitting in his house one day, and Myron said, "Oh, I remember when I was young like you, Andrew. I remember when I was your age," and I thought, "Oh, 60's old. When you're 60 years old, that is old." And then I got to be 60 years old. And you know what? I said, "What's that, Brother Thomas?" 60 isn't old. That's not old at all. And I got to be 60, and I just knew 60's not old. But now 70's old. When I get to be 70, that's an old man. And then I got to be 70, Andrew. You know what? I said, "What's that, Brother Thomas?" 70's not old. 70 was fine. I got to be 70, and I thought to myself, 70's good. But now 80, that's old. And then I got to be 80. And you know what happened, Andrew? I said, "What's that, Brother Thomas?" He goes, "80 is old." He had all kinds of health problems by that time. I don't know. I don't know what's old, you know. I don't know. But these poetic descriptions of advanced age certainly drive home that we need faith as we face them. To remember God, respect Him, and obey Him. Solomon said in chapter 12 and verse 1, you need to start as young as you can. Because the day is going to come when it will not be easy or a delight to serve God. Not in the way that you did, not in the way that you'd like. You become limited. You have health limitations. You have financial limitations. You have time limitations. And we don't ever get a day back. And you need faith. You need faith when the sun rises and you don't feel good. And you need faith when you or your spouse is dealing with some ongoing infirmity, chronic illness. Some things come with age. And you got to deal with things that a good night's rest just doesn't shake off. You need faith when you begin attending funerals for your friends. Even to attend a funeral for your spouse. You need faith when it's quiet and lonely during the day. You need faith when you realize that all things being equal, you're much closer to meeting God face to face now than you'd ever known. And faith teaches us that that is a plenty exciting moment. In fact, a tender moment for a Christian when we get to go and meet God. Not a dreadful moment, not for the child of God. But these realities call for big faith. What we've been building and exercising for years. In the chapter wraps up then with a poetic imagery of death. It said in the end of verse 5, man goes to his eternal home, the mourners go about in the streets. And that leads us right to verse 6. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. The suddenness of a chain breaking, and it causes a lamp to fall from the ceiling, crash on the floor, that light goes out. The suddenness of a wheel snapping, or a water pitcher, it falls, it crashes to the ground, there's no repairing that. You can't put that back together. This is about death. It's done. And all is vanity, he says. He starts the book there in chapter 1 and verse 2, he ends it again here. Chapter 12 and verse 8, vanity, vanity, vanity. It's a word that means futile because it is transitory. Everything shifts, everything goes away except for God. God endures. And so everything under the sun does, but God does not. And so what is needed is big faith in every chapter of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, he says, this is what it was all about. It was about God. To fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Faith. Not faith for faith's sake. Not faith in faith. And certainly not faith in yourself. You read Ecclesiastes, it's not a big self-esteem booster. But it's all about faith. Faith in God. It's a faith builder. We read this book and it builds big faith in God. so that we remember God in every chapter of life. So that we respect Him, revere Him, we fear God in every chapter of life. So that we obey God in every chapter of life. That's faith. That's big faith in every chapter of life. I appreciate so much your good attention tonight. If you want to put your Bibles away and put the notes away, Brother Josh is going to come forward and lead us in a song together in just a moment. Building faith, building big faith. I believe that's what we want as the children of God. I believe that's what this church wants. And my hope and desire is that the next few days together will help us all in that. As we conclude this service tonight, I'd love you to just reflect upon your own life for a moment. What chapter are you in? What chapter are you ready to begin? I want to encourage you to start a new chapter and write it in faith, in big faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may very well begin with you making a confession tonight. You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Being baptized into Christ to be a new creation, all things new in Him, a new chapter, a new book, a new beginning in Jesus. Obey Him. Obey the gospel tonight. If we can help you with that or any other spiritual need, we ask that you would come forward and make it known. Together we stand and sing. Won't you?